ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If this thing is built, it will be a miracle to behold.
One of science's biggest promises.
It would be like the Wright brothers moment.
Governments, spies, billion-dollar investments, and scientific rivalries.
The control that's required is rivaled only by what God did in creating the universe.
Will quantum computers change everything? I'm Jacinta Bowler. Search for Science Friction, Dead and Alive, on ABC Listen, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want you to try and imagine 1 trillion of anything. Most of us find it hard. I certainly do. Go back 1 million seconds and you've gone back a fortnight. Go back 1 billion seconds and you're back in 1994, the birth of the Lion King. Go back 1 trillion seconds and you're in 29,000 BC. Elon Musk is now the world's first trillionaire with wealth that's effectively unimaginable. Maybe he'll soon have to share it. On Tuesday, November 3, voters in California get to decide on Proposition 30, a proposal for a once-off billionaire's tax that would cost Musk 5% of a trillion. Maybe we ought to be less afraid of a billionaire's tax or a wealth tax of any kind. We already apply one to pensioners. It's called the assets test. And while it's all very well to tax the income of billionaires, and an advance on that if we tax their capital gains, their wealth is where the money really is. Ought we to at least talk about it? Welcome to this very special edition of The Economy Stupid on ABC Radio National with me, Peter Martin, recorded live before an audience of economists at this year's Australian Conference of Economists in Canberra. And yes, there will be time for questions, debate, discussions, arguments later. Our guests, brave enough to at least talk about taxing wealth, are Richard Dennis, who's Chief Executive of the Australia Institute, one of several organisations which has drawn up proposals for a wealth tax, and Kristen Sobeck, who's examined wealth and capital taxes at the ANU Tax and Transfer Institute and is now with the University of Canberra, which is where we are recording this year's Australian Conference of Economists and this year's program. Welcome, Richard. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard, why tax wealth, the wealth of very rich people? Why not stop at their income?
Why tax wealth? Because it would be good for the economy. It would be good for our society. And actually, it would be really good at this point in history for our democracy. But then we could just quote Ronnie Biggs and say, because that's where the money is. You know, just to be clear, if a market was working well, if our economy was efficient and competitive, there wouldn't be any billionaires.
And Adam Smith basically said that, the founder of modern economics.
I've heard of him, yeah, right? He's
used to lecture in economics, yeah, and Kristen has too.
And we're here amongst economists. Like, economists know that in a competitive market, new entrants keep coming and pushing prices and profits down. So if we can't fix it at the root cause, well, we should just tax the enormous wealth coming out the other end. It's really simple, and it would be good for the economy to tax something we want less of, which is enormous inequality.
Well, there are people who say that it would be a bad thing. In fact, we heard it in this...
They're called billionaires.
No, we heard it in the debate over capital gains tax, that wealthy people or people who believe they're about to become wealthy might leave the country. Gina Rinehart might leave the country.
Oh, no, and take the iron ore with her.
Well...
Like, this is how sort of nonsensical this stuff is. But, you know, let's quote that great economic thinker, Elon Musk, here. Because Elon was recently asked about, you know, becoming a trillionaire. And he was remarkably honest. He said something really important. He told his log cabin story about how he and a plucky group of engineers sitting in a shed cooking up SpaceX. Who could have ever thought? But being Musk, he went one step further and said, if you'd have told me then that this company would be worth $1 trillion one day, I'd have said you were on some pretty good crack. Now, this is really important, what he's just said. He didn't set the company up anticipating making a $1 trillion company. No one does. So the idea that if we said, look, if your small business is worth $1 billion one day, you might have to pay some tax on it. The idea that people are like, oh, I'm out of here. There's no way I'm going to... Like, this is just silly. And Musk said the quiet bit out loud.
Kristen, we tax income. If we taxed income properly, completely, surely we wouldn't need to tax wealth because that's where wealth comes from income.
Well, I think I'd take it one step before that, Peter, and say that I doubt that we would ever really be able to tax income completely.
Did we not?
No. So I think I'd take it a step back, and if we were economists, we like our theoretical models, and say that taxing income could, in theory, be the same equivalent, a substitute for taxing wealth. But if we think about what we would need for that, we would actually need a very comprehensive measure of income. And so for argument's sake, I'm going to assume that Peter on my right here is the owner of a Rolex, and that Richard over here, he owns a Picasso. And so in part, that would involve every year them telling me, or telling the tax office, how much their Rolex, personal jet, Picasso has increased in value. Now, you can imagine that that's quite an onerous process. So those are just kind of some examples. But another one would be a thing we call imputed rent. This is if you own a real estate property and you rent it out, the tenant pays me. Let's assume I'm the homeowner, I'm renting out a property, and the tenant pays me rent, which is taxed. Now, if you own your own house, it's kind of like you should be paying yourself rent, and that should be taxed.
But we
don't. So there's lots of things under our income tax system that we don't tax. And as a consequence, our income tax system does a good job, but it's missing quite a few of the pieces we need.
I'm wondering whether even if you could tax income properly, Kristen, and you'd need death duties, because that's income. When my father dies, I get a third of his estate. And gifts, in case he wanted to give me money on his deathbed to avoid death duties. Even if you could do that properly, would there still be a case for a tax on wealth? In other words, I'm wondering whether wealth is worth taxing in its own right. That is to say, it gives people something that the income that builds that wealth doesn't.
I mean, I think it goes to some of the arguments that Richard already mentioned at the beginning, that if we think a concentration of wealth is somehow corrupting our institutions, corrupting democracy, then I think there are very valid reasons why we might still want to.
It makes people better off, even if they don't use it.
Absolutely.
Indeed, I've got ProPublica in the US has just reported on Elon Musk. Over several years, he chose not to have income. He paid no tax whatsoever. Jeff Bezos, head of Amazon, also paid no tax whatsoever, but he got a $4,000 child tax credit because he was entitled to it because he wasn't making income. So wealth is valuable how?
What we know is that these people have... not just a somehow innate ability to turn what looks like a lot of income into no taxable income and no contribution to the infrastructure they use, let alone that we need, but strangely, what they happen to spend is hundreds of thousands of bucks on accountants. Right? We know this because it's hidden in this top secret data published by the ATO. So somehow, while paying tax would discourage them from wanting to be rich because of the disincentive of tax, but accountants' fees don't discourage them from being rich at all. So, yeah, one of the reasons to tax wealth is we know that the wealthy are particularly good at organising their affairs and buying in a lot of help to turn very large incomes into very low or often zero tax.
I mentioned one of the ways, Kristen, in which we already tax wealth or regard wealth as taxable with the age pension. It's also a new start. You try and get the unemployment benefit. They won't give it to you until they have checked on how much you have saved. Are there other ways we do this?
Land tax, as it's known in all jurisdictions except the ACT, where it's a bit more nuanced, is only applicable to properties that are investment properties, whereas owner-occupied housing remains completely untaxed. And your superannuation, if it transfers to an adult child who's an adult child, a child, your child who's an adult, who's not a tax dependent, there's an extra tax that's applicable to super, but my understanding is there's ways with nice tax accountants, that those can be avoided. There's also Division 296, which is kind of the tax on very large superannuation balances. So there are bits and pieces that we have here and there.
So I've accepted the principle, but we hardly ever apply it.
We can do better.
We used to, Richard. Every state had a wealth tax. Indeed, wealth tax arrived in Australia before income tax. It used to be very hard if you're an escaped convict or a released convict. Your income's not exactly recorded and your wealth was much easier to tax. We also had a death duty, a death tax, right up until the 1970s. Every state had one. So we had wealth taxes and we had death duties. What happened to them?
Look, the short answer is politics, and that's fine. We live in a democracy. Politics matters. But Joe Bjelke-Petersen in Queensland thought...
He was a Queensland Premier for people under 40.
Yeah, Queensland Premier. And he kind of had this idea that if he got rid of death duties, then a whole bunch of wealthy retirees would move from New South Wales and Victoria to Queensland. He wanted to encourage people to move to Queensland, and he particularly wanted to encourage rich people to move to Queensland, which was a brilliant idea. With no loopholes in it at all, because it was impossible for the other states to go, oh, we'll get rid of it too. So, you know, this is classic beggar thy neighbour stuff. We all made ourselves worse off. We all made our tax base narrower. Now, personally, as a citizen and as an economist, I'm allowed to be both, I love the idea of death taxes. I would love to pay tax when I'm dead. Like, how is this a hard political sell? Would you prefer to A, pay tax when you're alive, or B, pay tax when you're dead? Oh, Richard, you'll never win that one.
Well, no, but really? Malcolm Fraser, Australia's, yes, each state cut it after Queensland had cut it out, but the Prime Minister then abolished the national death duty, so there were none. Kristen, why was it so unpopular from your research?
I mean, one reason that I found interesting is the feminists were actually in favour of their abolition. If a wife who is likely to have passed later than her husband, because women tend to live on average a bit longer, she didn't necessarily inherit the assets tax-free. She is actually still subject to an inheritance tax. The feminist movement said, well, actually, these women who for most of the 20th century didn't have access, same as similar access to the labour market.
They just had their husband's house.
It was a different circumstance.
Until some of the excesses came. And also, we used to not index death duties. So over time, more and more people who were certainly not billionaires found themselves...
caught by the net, correct.
Now, death duties are common. Australia's unusual because it doesn't have them at all. But wealth taxes have been on the way out in the OECD, and now there are moves to bring them back. In the UK, 30 leading economists have called for one. They say that in centuries gone by, income tax was regarded as too technical or difficult to implement. The same arguments are being used now about a wealth tax. They shouldn't stop us. There's a push for a global wealth tax. It would tax 2% of billionaires' wealth each year, and if enough countries did it, they couldn't escape. Would that work?
Oh, it would be a good start. I mean, again, I think the idea that we should design the perfect tax system and then sit back and look upon our beautiful creation has done more to harm tax reform globally than anything else. Would it work? Not as well as people would hope. And will it be hard to implement? Yeah. But is doing nothing a good idea? No, not at all. It would be easy to design that, and most proposals suggest this, if the wealth had already been taxed in one country, then it wouldn't be taxed again somewhere else. So you can actually create a positive incentive for countries to impose.
A bit like carbon tariffs.
Exactly, right? So if your country is so dominated by politics and ignores economics, talking about you, Australia, that we just can't bring ourselves to do something simple like have a carbon tax, you get European and other countries saying, well, if you don't put a carbon tax on, when your stuff comes across our border, we will impose a carbon tax on you. That exact principle can be used with multilateral tax
of wealth. What
about
the idea, Kristen, that billionaires would simply move addresses? What do we know about the extent to which people do change addresses because of either large income taxes on their wealth, if they're very wealthy, or wealth taxes.
There's some work that was recently done in the UK on their super rich population. And what that research actually shows is when the UK kind of increased the rate of taxation that super rich were subject to, some moved, but the rates of mobility were actually quite modest. And when you dig into the appendix and read the paper in further detail, what it shares is that those with the least ties to the country were the ones that left. There was a phenomenal quote by a journalist in the AFR of someone who's like, you have your kids in school, your degree's here, your family, you've got the beach next door, and you're going to move to a city tax haven to kind of save 5% on your capital gains. Like, chill out and take a Valium. Like, and that was the quote, and I still remember it because I thought it encapsulated this paper in a very simple way, that yes, some people will move, but actually there are, I know it's also another newsflash, there's actually lots of reasons why people choose to come and live and stay in Australia.
The idea in the US, Richard, has a number of design features that might work. One is it's a one-off. You'll be taxed, if you're Elon Musk, on your wealth when you lived in California at the 1st of January 2026, which is, I seem to remember it, is in the past. So you can't escape it by moving. It's a one-off, so you can't escape it. I suppose it would be possible to use design features like that.
Look, absolutely. So, yeah, so the Californian one says, look, the tax date that counts is in the past. So good on you if you want to shift all your money offshore. Doesn't matter. Okay, so if Gina Reinhart wants to leave Australia, you know, fine, I don't mind. I'm pro-migration in either direction. When Zoran Mamdani was running in New York, Google it, you know, people are like, oh, 1 million people will leave New York City if he wins. Spoiler alert, they didn't. Right? So unfortunately, it's just costless for these threats to be made. It's costless for this exaggeration to be made. Should we take it seriously? Of course not.
Question is, have we convinced this audience here at the Australian Conference of Economists at the University of Canberra? You're listening to this special edition of The Economy is Stupid on ABC Radio National with me, Peter Martin, and guests, on the face of it would seem, pro-billionaires tax, Richard Dennis and Kristen Sobeck. Shortly, we'll go to questions and comments. But first, Richard, what would you do? The Australia Institute has two proposals, one for a death tax, one for a net worth tax. How would they work?
Yeah, look, so the Australia Institute is a think tank. It's our job to do research, find problems, propose solutions. The reason we've put multiple options out there is because there's more than one way to skin this cat. The worst thing we can do is sit back, watch inequality rise, have people say, isn't it sad that inequality is rising, and then do nothing about it. A net wealth tax is a very simple to design, very easy to explain policy.
Who would you include? Because, of course, I wouldn't want you to include me.
Well, I'm happy to be included, by the way. Apparently my self-interest is such that I like to be taxed. But let's own it, right? These are democratic preferences, and it's just ideology in Australia.
No, but if you limited it to billionaires, we've got 270
right.
or so of them.
Yeah, exactly.
170,
yeah.
Not many.
Well, look, again, as an economist and as a citizen, we're just picking a number that we feel is about right. We can optimise all we want, but it's no accident that all the tax brackets end in zero and there's no decimal places in all of our income tax rates, okay? We like round numbers that feel about right. So personally, I think that putting wealth taxes on people with $5 or $10 million in net wealth would be really politically easy. The media would absolutely explode because you've seen what happens when we try to make small changes to capital gains tax. But the reality is that's a tax that's going to affect 5 or 10% of people. It's going to reduce income inequality. It's going to make our democracy and our society healthier. And it means you can cut another tax if you want, or you can spend more on health and education.
Last question before everyone gets to ask questions and make comments. I'm wondering whether you could actually make that much money from it. And I'm wondering whether that matters. Would it still be worth doing even if it didn't raise much money?
Of course it would. You know, economics 101, tax things you want less of. If you want less inequality, there are simple tools available. If you say you want less inequality and oppose all measures to reduce inequality, well, revealed preferences suggest you don't really want to reduce inequality.
We have a roving microphone, and anyone who has anything either to say or ask a question, and if you can, if you want to identify yourself and your institution, but you don't have to, this is Canberra, if you work for the government, just give your first name. David.
So I'm David. You haven't mentioned capital gains tax. So we already do tax wealth, or at least we tax the change in wealth, unless it's your family home, at the point of sale. Why do we need to go beyond that with an annual tax on whatever you got left over after you've paid both your income and your capital gain tax?
Well, I'd say that taxes on capital gains aren't really a tax on wealth, because to tax the stock, that would be the value of the whole stock, that would be a tax on the wealth. But in fact, since you're just taxing the gain, that's more an income tax. So I guess that's the way I would see it. But I guess to your question on why do we need to go beyond that, I think based on some work that I did at the Tax and Transfer Policy Institute, what we see is that the forms of savings that have the lowest barriers to entry, like interest on a savings account, are taxed the most. And the forms of savings that are taxed the least have the biggest barriers to entry. And the way to think about this is owner-occupied housing. It's the young people who are saving in savings accounts and having a whole chunk of income tax taken from their interest in their savings accounts that they're saving for their home deposit.
I hope
for.
They are. I hope it's not Bitcoin.
Well, yeah. Who knows? And then it's older generations who've amassed tons and tons of wealth. And so, not surprisingly, we see a huge investment in owner-occupied housing because it's the thing we tax the absolute least. Where does that drive capital? There. And that's not what we want.
Who's next?
Thank you. First of all, thank you for that session. My name is Anik. Absolutely loved it. Do you think in the next 20, 30, 50, 200, 800 years, Australia will be in a place where it will effectively replace income taxes with wealth taxes?
With wealth taxes?
Completely, entirely.
Well, I'm bad at forecasting out 800 years, but let me have a stab at 20.
It doesn't get you even a trillion seconds.
No, indeed. I think when you look at the trends in the Australian system of tax and you look at the trends in Australian accumulation of wealth, it's pretty obvious that unless we change the tax system soon, things are going to get pretty bad pretty fast. And, you know, you can look internationally to see examples of what happened when you ignore inequality, when you ignore the need to invest in high-quality health and education for everyone, not just a wealthy few. Again, I think it's actually genuinely good for our democracy, let alone for our economy, to confront these things. So, you know, will the power of the status quo continue to convince people that taxing pollution is bad? Yeah, but not forever. Will the power of the status quo continue to convince people that we should give half the gas we export away for free? Yeah, but not forever. Will people that literally own $50 million, scare quotes, family homes continue to convince everyone that paying no capital gains tax on the sale of their mum and dad family home, will that continue for the next 20 years? I really doubt it. All right, and would our economy be better if we fix these things soon? Yes. Is it going to happen next year? No. But again, go back 20 years, things have changed a lot. Go forward 20 years, things will change a lot. What's up for grabs is the direction of that change and the pace of that change. And I think taxing wealth in some form, again, sign me up for death duties. It might deter me from dying. Like,
do you know that Andrew Lee and Joshua Gans studied deaths when Malcolm Fraser abolished the death duty? And apparently you have an ability to time your death.
Yes.
So 50 deaths were moved from just before the death duties were abolished, the week before, to the week after. Who knew?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't trust doctor's certificates.
Yeah, no, I think it may well be a documentation filling in the form issue.
I'm just looking forward to taxing death, meaning we get less death, surely, if as per Econ 101.
you want less of something? What does the opposition leader say? If you want less of something,
absolutely,
tax it.
Economics
101. This is the messaging. And to maybe pick up on that thread, also, Izzy, lovely to meet you all and thank you for the presentation. I think you could argue that our recent attempt at maybe CGT reform has maybe shown us, yes, there are risks to our democracy from increasing wealth, but equally, I think you could argue there have been risks to our democracy from trying to change things and how that's messaged and how people grasp onto that messaging. How do you think we manage like the risk for our democracy of instituting a wealth tax and handling that change and making sure people come on that journey? Like, what does that look like? How do we take people on that journey?
This is such an excellent question, Kristen. How do we do it?
It's really hard. I think having done a bit of the media for the recent budget, there's tax is really hard. Having worked on it for the last 8 years, I learn new stuff every day. I think personally what I could do is to try and embody the academia and just try and be a bit pedagogical. I think we can do some work towards just explaining some foundational concepts to the public in a simple way.
Does explaining work, Richard?
No.
How could you make it work?
No. look, so it is an important question, but I draw the exact opposite conclusion. What happened was the government changed the capital gains tax and negative gearing in modest ways that will be effective and will make Australia a better place, and a six-week tantrum from Wealth and Power manifest through hysterical media coverage had no impact on voters. None. Right? So have a look at the polls. People like it. Have a look at the polls before, during, and after. People like it. All right? Did the Financial Review like it? No. Did the Australian like it? No. Did the Sydney Morning Herald like it? Sort of, but no. All right? The media will not moderate this debate evenly in a way that represents 90% of people, but 90% of people aren't reading any of that anyway. But their sense of right and wrong was bang on. Their sense of better and worse was bang on. And that's why we'll stop giving so much gas away for free eventually. It's why at some point we'll have a carbon tax. And it's why at some point we'll do a wealth tax. How soon? Dunno. But will a tantrum from Wealth and Power stop it again? Nah, I don't think so.
We'll make that your final comment, but I should give you an opportunity to respond, Kristen, because it's really odd that Richard has been on this journey for decades and is an optimist. You've been on it for one decade and you're less optimistic. Do you have much hope? Do you see reason for hope?
I'm still an optimist at heart. I think the reforms that have been introduced are most certainly traveling in the right direction. I like the way things are going. I think I just end on agreeing with Richard on this last point. When we did some of the media stuff, the media repeatedly, in various interviews I did, were like, well, 10% of taxpayers have trusts. That's a lot. And I kind of wanted to, in retrospect, having thought about it, I was like, so 90% don't? and we're fussing about the 10%. So I guess I am optimistic, Peter.
Can I take a show of hands to conclude? A wealth tax on the top 5%. Those in favour? Mike, if only this was TV. Those against? Oh, my gosh. Well, I can count on just a bit more than one hand the number against. Thank you, Kristen Sobeck from the University of Canberra, where we are now. And thank you, Richard Dennis from the Australia Institute, also headquartered in Australia's greatest capital city. Thank you so much. And thank you for being part of this special edition of The Economy Stupid. If you have any comments listening and you might, or questions, email us at theeconomy.stupid@abc.net.au. Thank you so much for listening. We're on ABC Radio National Thursdays on your podcast app of choice. Enormous thanks to Christian Huff Johnson, sound engineer, and producers Hayley Crane and Sam Carmody. And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.